Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening we're going to take a look at some verses here from Mark's Gospel, the first chapter of it. You know, here again we're looking at some of the very early accounts of Jesus beginning his ministry 2,000 years ago. He had just been baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. He had just called some of his first disciples. His first miracle had been performed. And this evening we find Jesus and his disciples in Capernaum. If you remember much about Jesus' ministry, you might remember that Capernaum in many ways was like the home base of Jesus' ministry. You might have your own Bible with you this evening. If you have it with you, please open to Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. And might be an opportunity to jot some notes down in your own Bible. What we find in tonight's Bible reading, Jesus is going to a synagogue on the Sabbath. And he has the opportunity to teach. You know, a little bit of information here about synagogues back in the first century. They did not have a resident ordained pastor or rabbi. The synagogues would have rulers, or they'd have like a board of elders. They call them synagogue rulers, but they'd have like a board of elders or a synagogue council, that kind of thing. And they would have different rabbis, different teachers come in on a weekly basis to teach the people who had gathered. And Jesus' reputation was growing as someone who had a good grasp of God's word. And here's one of those times where Jesus had the privilege of teaching in the local synagogue in Capernaum. And as Jesus is teaching, if you look at the next verse, we're told in verse 22, and the people in the synagogue were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Maybe you've noticed this verse before or a verse similar to this in the scriptures, but there is something very different about the way that Jesus taught. It says that he taught as one who had authority. Here's what I think was going on. All the other people that taught in the synagogue, the scribes, the other rabbis, as they would try to unpack God's word, it would basically be one reference after another, one quote after another from another teacher. It would be like a preacher today coming up and reading a passage of scripture and then citing 5 or 10 different commentaries written about that passage. When Jesus taught, though, he stayed with God's word. He knew God's word so well that he was able to take that one passage or a few verses he was looking at and connect it with all the other points in the Old Testament, make those words come alive. People could see that Jesus really had a solid grasp of God's word. Wouldn't it have been cool to be there in that synagogue that day in Capernaum? The people were so thrilled to hear Jesus' teachings. Imagine being there too and hearing the things that Jesus had to say. The people were so right when they said that Jesus taught as one who had authority. You know, when I think about that verse and how Jesus had authority and how Jesus wasn't like the other teachers, I can't help but be reminded of something that Jesus said somewhere else as he looked at the people in the synagogue, the Jewish people of his day. It's in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus says these words. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, it says, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Like sheep without a shepherd. goes on to say, then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. But Jesus said, it seemed like the people were sheep without a shepherd. They would go to the synagogue week after week, hear a different rabbi speak, but so often they weren't getting spiritual food. They weren't getting any good meat for their souls. They were sheep without a shepherd. But when Jesus taught in that synagogue, they saw him as a teacher, like one who had authority. It would be cool, wouldn't it, to be sitting in that synagogue hearing what Jesus had to say. But wait, don't we have Jesus' words with us now? We do, don't we? And as the people in Capernaum 2,000 years ago were amazed at Jesus' teachings, I hope that we're amazed by his teachings too. We have so many of his teachings recorded for us right there. If you're holding your Bible, his teachings are right there in your hand. When you read those words of Scripture, I hope and pray that you are amazed and awed at the things that Jesus has to say. I hope you can see how he teaches as one who has authority. As we go on with the next verses here, look what happens next. In verse 23, and immediately, remember there's that word immediately there in Mark's Gospel, that word immediately appears over almost 50 times. And immediately there in their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. And he knew who Jesus is. Find it interesting that here they are in a synagogue, and there's a man with an unclean spirit. Maybe we could say a demon-possessed man was right there in the synagogue. Who would have ever thought that the devil goes to church? But he does, doesn't he? I think the devil goes to church very often. I think the devil goes to church even more often than some Christians go to church. You know, I'll never understand some people. Never understand how, you know, some people come to church just like to complain about everything. They complain about other people. They gossip. They backbite. They sow discord among fellow Christians. They complain about the preaching. They might say, oh, it's too hard, or, oh, it's too soft. The preacher should have given them more fire and brimstone. Preacher should have said this. He should have said that. There's some Christians who like to find fault with everything. They find fault with the kids that make too much of a mess in the pews. They find fault with the adults who do this or do that. They keep finding fault and criticizing, but yet they keep coming back. It's so bad, why do they keep coming back? The devil's the same way, isn't he? The devil's very similar. He hates everything about the church. He hates prayers. He hates preaching. He hates the praising that takes place in church. He hates to see someone recognize their sins and then repent. He just hates it someone places their faith and trust in Jesus. He hates it when Christians get it right. He hates of the service when God is glorified. He hates worship. But yet, Satan keeps coming back. He, or one of his emissaries, is at every service. Satan goes to church. 2,000 years ago in Capernaum, that man came to church and he confronted Jesus. The demon-possessed man confronted Jesus. He identified who Jesus was. And then Jesus says to him, be silent in verse number 25. You know, I think that word, that those words, be silent, is a little bit too gentle for what Jesus said. If we have the privilege of reading this in the Greek language, Jesus says to the man here, be muzzled. Kind of like saying, shut up. Be muzzled. And then Jesus says, come out of him. Come out of him. And immediately that man was healed. The devil was no longer in church. Through all the things that happened that day in that little synagogue in Capernaum, the people were amazed. They were awed by Jesus. They were awed by Jesus' teachings and awed by what Jesus did. How about you and your walk with God? Does Jesus still amaze you? Does he awe you? Or do you feel maybe that you've fallen into a rut when it comes to your relationship with Jesus? If you feel like you're in that rut, if you maybe feel that, oh, Jesus doesn't amaze me anymore, he doesn't awe me anymore, what do you do? Some things you can do. Of course, pray. Pray more than ever before. I like what Martin Luther said, you know, when it came to prayer. Somebody asked him, how long do you pray, Martin Luther? And he said, well, I pray 3 hours a day, unless I'm busy. Then I pray more. Spend time in God's Word, too. Crack open that Bible, read it, meditate on it, pray through the words. Know that when you're reading those words, it's God's Word. God is speaking to you. Those words are living and alive and active, and God works through them. And when it comes to your walk with God too, rely on him. Know that it's not something that you're under control of, but God, trust in God. Know that in baptism, God adopted you as his very own child. Even though you don't deserve it, that you never deserved it, he loves you. Come to the Lord's table and receive that bread and wine. Such a small little amount of bread and unleavened bread at that, a little bit of wine, but yet connected with those earthly elements is God's powerful word, and Jesus says that when it's with his word, we receive the very body and blood of Jesus, and he comes to you personally. Doesn't that amaze you? That when you come to the Lord's table, and in that, in, with, and under that bread and wine, Jesus comes to you. And finally, when it comes to just being utterly amazed at Jesus. Reflect on your sin. Reflect on your sin. Inventory your life in light of the Ten Commandments. If you're like me, you'd say, oh man, I really, really, really messed up. Even with such a bad record, though, that amazing Jesus still loves you. Even with that sinful record that you possess, Jesus went to the cross for you. He gave up his life to pay for those ugly sins. And he rose again as proof that those sins are forgiven. And he rose again as proof that eternal life, his promise of eternal life, is yours. That promise is good, and it's for you. I pray that you are amazed by Jesus and his teachings. His teachings are amazing, and his teachings are for you. May we all live by them. In Jesus' name, amen.